It's time for our final installment of Dorothy's List for the school year. Each month since September, we've profiled one of the books nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Choice Book Award. This month, we learn which book Vermont kids chose, and we preview some of the books nominated for next year's award. The winner was announced last week at the annual Dorothy Canfield Fisher Conference in Fairley, and VPR's Amy Noyce was there.
We have a DCF Award winner for 2015. It's Chris Grabenstein for Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library.
That was Sharon Colvin talking to a room full of Vermont librarians and teachers. She's the new Youth Services Consultant for the Vermont Department of Libraries. If the applause sounded less than enthusiastic, that's because the winner wasn't a surprise to many of the people in the room. It's hard to keep a secret from a good librarian. They were more surprised to learn that author Chris Grabenstein will be coming to Vermont later this spring to accept his award.
I'm extremely happy to announce that he will be coming to Vermont on Saturday, June 13th.
It's been a few years since the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Awards winning author has been able to accept the award in person, so Colvin says she's going to do whatever she can to make it a great celebration. Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library is about a group of 12-year-olds who are locked inside a brand new state-of-the-art library with features like a holographic librarian and shelf-stocking robots. The library was built by a master game maker, Mr. Limoncello, and the kids are competing to be the first to find their way out using only the tools found within the library. Kids who voted for the book say they liked solving puzzles in the story alongside the characters. New York-based author Chris Grabenstein says he's excited to come accept the award in person.
I really want to thank the kids who voted for the book more than anything. Winning this kind of award, because there's all sorts of awards that are given out by librarians and organizations, but when a bunch of kids sit down and read a list of books and say, this is our favorite, for me, that's really who I'm writing for, so that means more than anything in the world. So thank you, Vermont. I'm going to buy you all some ice cream. We're going to go to Ben and Jerry's and convince them to make Limoncello Lemonhead ice cream. Or sorbet.
While there may not be a Limoncello ice cream yet, author Chris Grabenstein says there might be a movie in the works.
Well, there's a chance that Nickelodeon might turn it into a movie. We don't know for sure, so that's pretty exciting.
And Chris Grabenstein says he recently finished writing a sequel to Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library.
And it comes out, I realized, on 1/6/16, January 6, 2016. And it'll be called Mr. Limoncello's Library Olympics. There's going to be regional competitions. And then six teams will come to Ohio for the first ever Library Olympics to be held on March 20th because the other Olympics already have winter and summer. So Mr. Limoncello will do spring.
Even before Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library was announced as the 2015 winner, the award committee had released the list of 30 books nominated for the 2016 award. Youth Services Consultant Sharon Colvin is one of 8 members of that volunteer committee. Dorothy's List sat down with Sharon and committee chairperson Hannah Peacock, who's also the children's librarian at Burnham Memorial Library in Colchester. We asked them to tell us about some of their favorite titles on the new list. Hannah let Sharon have the first pick.
You go first.
I would start with The Scandalous Sisterhood of Prickwillow Place. I love this book. It won an award for the audio production from ALA.
Oh, I listened to the audio.
Did
it's
you?
Fantastic.
It's
yeah.
hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny. So this is a dark, dark comedy. And it's about these girls who are in a boarding school, a finishing school in the 1800s in England. And they have this kind of Miss Hannigan-esque headmistress who's just not nice. And one day they're having Sunday dinner with the headmistress and the headmistress's brother, and they mysteriously drop dead. And so the girls have to figure out what to do. And they're thinking, oh, my gosh, we're going to get in trouble. And then they're going to send us home and they don't want to go home. And ooh, if we just ignore it, maybe they'll let us do whatever we want. And of course, that sounds appealing. So they bury them in the backyard, which is horrifying but hilarious. And so then they make one of the girls dress up as the headmistress and they pretend like nothing ever happened. But of course, that is not going to last very long. And while they're trying to pretend that the headmistress is still alive, they're trying to unravel the mystery of who killed them and trying to protect themselves because they don't want to get blamed.
That's The Scandalous Sisterhood of Prickwillow Place by author Julie Berry. Committee Chair Hannah Peacock gave her first nod to a book called The Misadventures of the Family Fletcher by author Dana Allison Levy.
It's a book about two dads who have adopted four boys. And it's not about the dads being gay that's important in this book. It's just about them being a family and finding their place. Nothing crazy happens. It's a sweet, gentle book about boys growing up and dads finding how to parent. And like, there's no like huge thing in town about, oh my God, these two dads, who guys, no one cares. It's just about, you know, a 6-year-old, 2 10-year-olds and a 12-year-old going to different schools. And one of them going to school for the first time and all finding different interests and breaking out of their sort of shells. And it's just the sweetest, loveliest book about kids.
Sharon Colvin also selected a quiet book for her next pick by author Naomi Shihab Nye.
Another one of my absolute favorites is The Turtle of Oman. This book just blew me away. It's short. It's almost like poetry. It's written so beautifully. And it's about a boy who lives in Oman and he is going to be moving to the United States and he really does not want to go. And the whole book kind of reads as this love letter to Oman, and he loves his home so much and his family, and he spends time with his grandfather kind of saying goodbye, and he knows he's going to return, which is, you know, why it's called The Turtle of Oman.
The title refers to the time that the boy and his grandfather spend watching sea turtles as the animals return to the shores where they were born.
He's going to return like the turtle in a few years, but it just breaks his heart to leave. So it's the story of this little boy who's kind of dragging his feet.
He won't pack.
He won't pack. His mom's like, have you started packing? No. He doesn't want to pack and he doesn't know what to take and he's dragging his feet. But at the same time, he's really immersing himself in his family and his home. And not a lot happens in this book, but it doesn't matter. It's just a sweet, gentle read. I hope a lot of kids pick it up.
Green Glass House by author Kate Milford is Hannah Peacock's next selection.
And it's a book that'll be so interesting to so many different types of readers because there's mystery, there's imagination, there's friendship, there's adoption. So it's the story of this couple who run this inn up on this hill in Nagspeak, and they have an adopted son, and he's all excited because he thinks he's going to get to spend Christmas doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, all these guests show up and they're all coming for different connected reasons. And he ends up having to solve the mystery of why everyone's there and what it's all about. And the inn is historically, it was a place where smugglers came through. And so some of that connects back. And then he has this new friend that you'll find out a lot about. And they end up solving this mystery together. But there's all kinds of little nuances and mysteries and little games and puzzles to solve. And it's just one of my favorite books on the list as well.
And Hannah Peacock has a bird-themed supernatural book in her top three, Gabriel Finley and the Raven's Riddle by George Hagen.
And again, it's a mystery. So this boy is about to turn 12. He lives with his aunt, and his father has gone missing. And there's a connection to him turning 12 and certain things happening. And he and his dad both have this connection with ravens where they can actually sort of meld their bodies with him and fly. He and his new friends he finds decide they're going to find his dad or look for his dad and his uncle, who's turned a little mad. And they go to this underground world called Aviopolis that's run by birds. And all throughout, there's puzzles and games. And there's ravens and there's Val ravens. And the Val ravens are bad. So ravens always identify each other by having to solve a pun. If they laugh, then they're a raven. If they don't get it, then they're a Val raven. So there's puns throughout the book, which is just awesome. And again, it's a story about friendship and adventure, and there's puzzles, and it's fantasy, and it's a good mystery.
Sharon Colvin's third pick is a graphic novel called El Defo by C.C. Bell.
I will tell you, I'm not a huge graphic novel fan, but this one blew me away. It's fantastic. It's really approachable. It's a memoir. It's about a girl who in the 1980s had a hearing problem. And so she wore this really conspicuous, bulky hearing aid that, you know, was obvious to all her classmates. And of course, it came with the accompanying bullying and feeling like an outcast. And the art is fantastic because the characters are not human. They're bunnies, which I don't know. There's something endearing about that. And they're bunnies. And she's wearing this kind of huge, bulky hearing aid. And what happens is that she turns it into a superpower. And she calls herself El Defo. And so she becomes a superhero who has this special power. And I think this story is really relatable. I think that every kid's going to understand how it feels to feel left out, feel different, and to get kind of that negative attention. But the great thing about this character is she turns it around and she becomes the hero of her own story, which I just love. And because it's a graphic novel, I think it's going to reach a lot of readers who wouldn't necessarily pick up a big, wordy prose novel.
Those are just a few of the 30 books nominated for next year's Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award for middle grade readers.
The job never stops.
There's always one more book to read.
I know.
You can find the entire list at vpr.net. It's a great way to start your summer reading. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.
And that wraps up Dorothy's List for this school year. VPR's Book Club for Kids will return in the fall when we'll take a closer look each month at books nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award. Dorothy's List is sponsored by the VPR Journalism Fund.